high. Did I hear Ed Alexander right? Almost 100 degrees this weekend. Far too early in the new year for that, I think, anyway. Hello, everybody. My name is Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen. Ray engineers and produces the Buckmaster Show, and we keep him on the other side of the glass. No, it's where he resides during the noon hour, and he's perfectly happy on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster program. It's tax day. I know it's complicated. It's normally April 15th, but today is tax day 2017. I believe it's due to some kind of a holiday that was going on in the District of Columbia yesterday. But anyway, we are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, live streaming the program at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you during the hour at 790-2040 for your calls, comments, suggestions. We invite you also to check out our Facebook page, and we're at Twitter at Buckmaster Show. On the live line right now is Keith Rosenblum. Keith is one of two dozen contributors on a regular basis to the Buckmaster Show. He is our border contributor, and he certainly has years and years of experience covering the border with the Arizona Daily Star and the Arizona Republic. He knows Mexico like no one else I know here in Tucson. Let's welcome now Keith Rosenblum. How are you, Keith?
Just continuing to know more Mexicans every moment of the day, Bill.
Well, that certainly helps with your
what I do.
Job
right.
Qualification.
I don't want to ever fall those. I don't want to ever be drop out of that 24 regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show.
Right, you are
so
among
I
you
know,
are among the two dozen. Yeah,
got to keep myself prepped at every moment.
Right, the very coveted two dozen Buckmaster contributors. We had the gentleman, I believe his name is Frank Johnson, on our program about a year or so ago, and he was talking up trying to start up air service between Tucson, nonstop service between Tucson and Guaymas. Whatever happened to that, Keith?
Well, first, he's Frank Jackson.
Oh, excuse
me. That's okay. those Anglo names all look so much alike to us.
Sorry about that. I knew it was Frank, yes.
Frank, I worked with Frank, so my disclosure is that for 3 months, I opened doors to Frank throughout southern Arizona and throughout northern Mexico, mostly on the Arizona side. Frank had lived in Rocky Point and then had moved to San Carlos, and I'd met him maybe like 10 years or so ago. He wanted to write a book and was looking for someone to edit, and so he got in touch with me initially that way. And then because he was managing the Playa Blanca Hotel, which is a gorgeous facility in San Carlos, he decided that to bring people down, he'd like to look at doing packages. And so he went hunting for airlines that could do it. He didn't find anyone that could do it or make it cost effective, you know, to take people on package three, you know, two night or three night or four night packages to and from. And so he set out on his own to do the air service. And I'm probably not going to be able to provide a lot of answers, but I probably will be able to sharpen people's increase the range of people's questions on this, because I'm also kind of mystified, because there's not a more decent man in the world when it comes to Frank. I spent hours and hours with him between, you know, here in Phoenix, back to Nogales, before Chambers of Commerce, before logistics groups, before, and I'm as puzzled by the stories that have come out about you know, the lack of service and the possibility of malice or fraud. My time with Frank was, he kept his word in every area. He's a humble guy, learned the airline industry as he was going to do things. I was a little surprised when he started to take people's money online. I thought that was a little odd, but that wasn't my turf. I was just a guide to him.
Right.
So when he started to take money for people to do vouchers, of course, the first thing that goes through my mind isn't, is that legal or not? Mm-hmm. The first thing that goes through my mind is, who would do that? Who would actually be a participant in buying vouchers for a service that doesn't yet exist?
Right.
I would no more do it with, not because it's Frank, Mm-hmm. But if you promised me something, you in particular, I would probably say, no way. Wait, show me an aircraft, show me an existing service, and I'd be delighted to join in. So I'm as surprised that in 2017, in a consumer beware society, that he was able to raise that kind of money anyhow.
And what kind of promises. Keith, what kind of money is it your understanding that he was able to raise?
Here I'm beholden to the Daily Star, to Gabriella Rico, who's done a splendid job of keeping people informed. From what I understand from Gabby's stories are, we're talking about $70,000, which again, in the scheme of things, is chump change.
Right.
It's not chump change if you've lost a nickel yourself, but it is chump change in the world of people who are going to commit fraud. My view on fraud, if we're talking about fraud, is better to commit fraud a la Bernie Madoff or get your money's worth out of it and not have it be something for $70,000. And that really is the question, is whether those funds that he collected, and this is what Gabby's story on Sunday addresses, is whether those funds, where are they? You know, what have they been used for in the meantime? And basically, Frank has taken a kind of hedge the bet answer. He's never dealt with Gabby's questions directly as he ought to. In particular, if he ought to, and there's nothing to conceal. You can have people on the penny stock markets, on the internet. There's all sorts of initiatives to begin things. Just because someone loses money doesn't mean there's fraud involved.
Of course.
Fraud involves some kind of intent, and you can be inept, or you can come across, have bad fortune yourself or make some mistakes, and that doesn't mean that you'll end up being charged with fraud. So the fact that Gabby's story says that the Arizona Attorney General is looking into it, once again, Frank has the presumption of innocence.
Of course.
And there's no guarantee that there's his malfeasance or that there's malice that's involved. But, and this was what I was telling when I had the one-on-one time with Frank, I said, just whatever it is, let's level with people. Let's always tell them exactly what's going on, because a lot of times when Frank didn't have information, he wouldn't walk people through why he didn't have it. The reasons something hadn't taken place weren't fishy. They weren't, but he didn't tell them.
Right.
That's too bad, because you should always, the first thing you always want to do is to keep people informed, and they'll side with you, as they have. Oh, there's an awful lot of people I have with Frank, who a lot of people still believe there will be service, and he's a man of his word.
Right. And as I recall, Keith, and I don't there's been several stories in the Star. One of them, I believe, stated that Frank had said that everybody would be paid back.
Yeah, I saw the same thing, I actually believe that Frank, as I said, he paid me for 3 months of work. I earned $3,000 a month for 3 months, and he didn't leave a penny unpaid.
Right.
And he kept his words. And you would think that something like that would start with the people that surround you if you're going to do something. To this day, I'm mystified, and I continue to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that he is not a professional communicator. What he is a guy that wanted to start an airline and fill a void, because anyone that knows traffic patterns in southern Arizona or northern Mexico knows that at one time there were 250 people waiting for DC-9s, one going to Guaymas and one going to Hermosillo at Tucson Airport. And that's a time when, so Frank was very well received, and they were, the Tucson Airport Authority was very gracious with him, gave him every benefit of the doubt to do things. They worked with him, and I think they continue to. They also want to see him succeed at something that everybody believes would fill a really deep void in the marketplace.
Yeah, well, we certainly hope that everybody gets paid back, and certainly if you're one of those people waiting for the funds, you can certainly understand why they are being rather, they want the money back.
Let me plug newspapers, because I come from the print world.
Sure.
And I'm not sure that the community would be having this discussion if it weren't for what? A Sunday 1A story.
That's it.
So while people are talking about the obsolescence of newspapers or how it don't matter, let me just remind you, this was a newspaper reporter that did the story. I just want to cheer for that. People know that the presses are still turning out some good copy, and people are still paying for it.
Well, I still have it delivered on my doorstep, so
I'm at 20-acre ranch on the north side of Tucson, and I don't know how they get to it after all that traveling,
but
I suppose it's worth it a while.
All right. Keith, I did want to address another subject, but we may have to wait for another time. I've got about 1 minute, but the subject, let me ask you very straightforward. Customs and Border Patrol they're not coming forward and saying they're going to allow cameras on their agents. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is one of the things that's one of my pet peeves. I was reading through studies explaining why CBP and Border Patrol won't have them, and the studies are basically say that because of the kind of use they get, and my belief now is in 2017, if you've got police departments and sheriff's departments and throughout the enforcement system, you know what? Put them on. It's been a big asset. It'll protect them as well. But if you read through, or any of your listeners have a chance to look at the PDF file of CBP looking at cameras, have them go through and figure out why it is that federal agencies would be treated differently, or what it is that they're doing to conceal themselves from having cameras the same as basically every beat cop in the country now, or almost everyone.
All right. Why don't we pick up on that, Keith, your next visit to the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, sir.
I'd be delighted. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Keith Rosenblum, one of our 24 contributors. Keith is our border contributor here on the Buckmaster Show. And I want to tell you about one of our fine contributors to the program, one of our supporters. Without them and all of our Buckmaster Show contributing supporters, this program would not be possible. I'm talking about Green Things. Jan and Jack, the owners, do a beautiful job at 3384 East River Road. Got about 13 acres over there. They've got it looking really good, filled with everything green you could imagine, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. I suggest going to greenthingsaz.com, the website for the upcoming events, Friday afternoon at 1 and Saturday morning at 10, those free workshops. Be right back. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, Dr. Victoria Mays is the Executive Director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Plus, Dr. Mark Sykes, he's heading up the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. All happening on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live listening podcasts and our complete show archive at buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Nothing that says I can't give a recommendation, which I do freely, to Mr. Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Shelley, good to have you back in the studio. You had some very important investor meetings last Tuesday, but we had a very good session.
We did.
Telephonically. But it's always nothing beats someone seated right across from you in studio. Have we kind of reached maybe the end of the Trump honeymoon or whatever you call it on Wall Street?
Well, I think what's happened is that investors have stopped the forward momentum in this irrational exuberance of allowing the markets to climb higher and higher without seeing actual performance on the part of the government in terms of tax cuts and infrastructure spending.
Good faith rally.
Yeah, I like that.
But, you know, the New York Times had an interesting piece about an idea you presented here on our program. You have been talking about a National Service Corps. Hey, your idea is out there.
Well, I hope so.
It was written about in the Sunday New York Times.
Actually, it was Saturday. Roger Cohen.
Oh, Saturday.
In Saturday's, I think I misled you on that one. Mm. But in Saturday's New York Times, Roger Cohen, who's one of the New York Times more centrist columnists and op-ed contributors, tried to tackle the question of why it is that the coastal elites and the flyover people in the center can't seem to communicate with each other. And he talks, I think, very succinctly about the fact that there are two countries and that in fact, title of the piece was Travel Abroad in Your Own Country.
Yeah, I mean, look at the way things are. It is like
right.
two countries.
Yeah, you're just there doesn't seem to be an awful lot of commonality.
Mm-hmm.
And so he talks about that and he said, "Well, why should there be? We never get together. We never interface with each other." And he comes upon an interesting idea. He said, "You know, if we had a national service corps where people who were 18 to 28 were either required or induced to serve, that those two parts of the country would indeed be thrown together in common service around the country, and that would in fact go a long way toward bridging the gap." And that was one of the things we talked about when I talked about a National Service Corps, where Roger Cohen goes one step further than I went in thinking this through, was he comes up with a way of paying for it. He says, "Look, you know, one of the things we really need to do in paying for this is finding the proper incentives to get people to sign up for this. Mm-hmm. He said if we were to put $10,000 in an account for every newborn starting now over the next 18 years, it would cost about $20 billion. Actually, I think it's $40 billion if you did $10,000, $20 billion if you did $5,000. And let those accounts compound. And then when a person is 18 years old, they would have the option from the time they were 18 to the time they were 28 to use that money for education or training or whatever, but only on the condition that they were to serve in a National Service Corps for a year or two. And that is a very fascinating, I think, an interesting way of approaching this question of, number one, how do you pay for it? But number two, what is the mechanism? From my perspective, I said make it mandatory. What he is saying is make it optional. Now, the reason I don't think his plan will work quite as well as he'd like it to is because the so-called Eastern and, you know, or coastal elites who could afford not to take that fund that would be made available to him wouldn't use it.
Right.
And so you wouldn't see them there. On the other hand, lots of people would. So what I like about it, and by the way, Tom Brokaw 2 weeks ago on, I think it was Morning Joe, also talked about a National Service Corps because he was lamenting the fact that we're fighting our wars and in doing national service with 1% of our population. And he didn't think that was a very sound way to build the kind of cohesiveness in the country that appears to be breaking down. And so this idea, discussion around the idea is becoming, you know, hopefully from my perspective, a little bit more upfront.
Yeah, like less than 1% actually do or have served in our military.
Yeah. And they don't believe when they come back, they don't believe that they can integrate well back into civilian life. There seems to be a gap in the way they communicate with, you know, the rest of the people around them. I can tell you from the, you know, the period of time that I spent on active duty, when I got back, it took some adjustment and I never saw combat. But my respect for civilian authority had to be reestablished. And so I can only imagine if you've done eight or more years, 12, 16 years in the military and several deployments, that it'd be very difficult to find some common ground with people who hadn't done anything like that.
And during the Depression, of course, the Civilian Conservation Corps was a unifying factor for many young people, bringing young people from all over the country together.
Absolutely.
And then later, and of course, World War II, we got to know very quickly our young people, their friends, neighbors all over the country.
Yes.
They were thrown together.
And then we came up with the GI Bill. Which meant that if you had served, you were given not only the opportunity but the incentive to then go and get higher education. And that actually fueled the avalanche of scientific and business progress that went on after World War II. It was this whole greatest generation, the baby boomers, who were able to get educated and paid for. And I joke about the fact that when I entered college in 1962, it was City College. It was a fine university system, and it was free to residents.
Yes.
Yeah, and the draft, the idea of a military draft comes up every so often. And you think back to the Vietnam War, so many of the people who wound up, as they say, in country, overseas, were very poor people.
Those who couldn't afford to pay their way into a reserve unit.
And into a reserve unit. Or get a
college. A bone spur in your foot.
Or a college deferment.
And that's how I wound up in the service because I very quickly, I was 16. I was too young to be in college. I flunked out and I was draft bait. I mean, there was just no way I was going to avoid that draft. And And we were poor, so I couldn't.
You
buy
didn't
my
have
way.
A lot of choices.
We
basically.
Didn't have a lot of choices.
But
that's
we certainly thank you, Shelley, for your service in the United States Marine Corps. So, Shelley, what should we look for here in the upcoming weeks with our market?
Well, I think what we're going to see is more flatlining, unless we see some craziness go on that indicates that the administration is not going to get what they have proposed in terms of short-term policies from the Congress. One of the things you have to really distinguish here is whether or not you agree that these are good policies, and we had some discussion about this last week. In the short term, $1 trillion worth of infrastructure spending is stimulative. In the short term, there will be an incentive for corporations for whom regulations have been relaxed to invest. Because if they don't start investing, people will question very, very quickly why we're doing this. So same thing with tax cuts, especially if they're middle class tax cuts, people are going to spend those. So it's stimulative. Now, you know how I feel about a dashboard, about mm-hmm. needing measurements. Mm-hmm. But clearly, if that starts to look like it's going to kind of be delayed over and over and over again, then I think
that will
what
slow down.
Investors will
yes,
look at is corporate performance. Mm-hmm. And if corporate performance doesn't improve, mm-hmm. then we'll start seeing the kind of normalized measurements used. And right now we're at the very upper end of where those normalized measurements would allow the market to be.
Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Find out more at buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Shelley, and he does return phone calls. Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at givehopetucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery, info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and coming up Memorial Day weekend, it is almost here. I can't believe how fast this year has gone by. I mean, we're talking about 100 degrees, perhaps close to 100 upcoming weekend. Yeah, so the summer months are quickly upon us. Well, the 22nd annual Silver City Blues Festival is coming up in Silver City, May 26th through the 28th. That's the Memorial Day weekend, and this is a big event. People come from all over the country. It's a free event. Ghost Town Blues Band from Memphis will be the headliners. I suggest going to Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org, for the full listing of several dozen places to stay in Silver City. You'll want to get your reservation because the Blues Festival is very popular. So check that out. Let's welcome now Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. Dr. Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. And at one time, actually in 1989, he was named Arizona's top school superintendent. Actually has a school named for him in Flowing Wells. Do you ever drop in? First of all,
yeah,
good to
absolutely.
See you back. You do drop
I
in
do.
At the Hendricks School?
Yes, I do.
And it's an elementary school?
It is.
And how are they
it's
doing?
K through six. They're mm-hmm. doing extremely well.
Oh, well, good. It's kind of nice to see your it name is. Out front of the school.
It's an Arizona A-plus school. Very
good.
Proud of that.
Good. How about Tucson Unified School District, a very troubled district now, some saying there's a leadership vacuum. We do have an interim director, but the process for finding a permanent superintendent, all of these things, job hunting for many professions, have certain seasons. Are we in the season for looking for school superintendents?
I think that season, Bill, is pretty much past. I mean, the window of opportunity is really in the early part of the spring. Usually, superintendent candidates begin looking in December or January. And by this time, many of candidates that would have a lot of potential will have secured positions elsewhere. So it's very difficult to look at candidates that are already under contract. So it's going to be interesting to see what the board decides to do.
And they have an interim up through the end of the fiscal year to the end of June. And I have no idea what they're thinking here, but as that window closes, they may, and I've heard very good things about this gentleman that is...
I have as well. And so the interim position does have a...
Gabriel.
An ending date, yeah. Correct. But that can always be extended.
Sure.
Depending on the circumstances. So I think we're going to have to wait to see what the board's next step is. Hopefully, they're in the process of looking for some kind of a procedure to search for someone, whether it's for this part of the late season or for next year.
You know, I mentioned this on our – in fact, we kind of teed off on this on our Monday political face-off yesterday because I happen to know that the two commentators, Mr. Rabago and Mr. Munger, were going to definitely take opposite views on this whole school voucher situation. And we talked a little bit about Jonathan Butchers. He's the education director up at the Phoenix-based Goldwater Institute, and he had an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal on Saturday. And as I mentioned to the face-off guys, I said, I read through the whole article, and there's not one word there. Voucher is not mentioned. Is that like a dirty word or something, or why is it not mentioned?
Well, I think when you talk about empowerment scholarships, it's right. A softer word and a softer term, and I think people find that more palatable. What's really interesting to me about this piece of legislation that has really kind of pushed to the corner is the idea that it's going to have access for all. It's really not equal access for all. It's equal access for some, because the focus of this access is to private schools.
Right.
And we already have a very large charter school movement in the state. But the difference, I think, is when you talk about charter schools, every parent has the opportunity to enroll their children in a public charter school. When we talk about private schools, it's a very different situation. The empowerment grants or vouchers, if you want to call them that, represent a cost factor of a little bit over $5,000. And so that money, which is essentially given to the parent who applies as a debit card, can be used to apply for a private school education and can be applied the tuition. But
question then, Bob, why is the state of Arizona helping parents get kids into private schools?
Because I think there's a driving force among a segment of our population that really wants those kinds of scholarships. And, Bill, I did a little bit of investigation of the cost of private schools in Tucson.
Okay.
And, of course, South Point is always used as an example. And their actual tuition is about $9,400. But then you look at Greenfields, which is $14,000, the Gregory School, which is $16,000, Push Ridge, which is a little over $8,000. Mm. So do the math. Mm-hmm. You take $5,500, you give it to a struggling family, low-income family, I would say even a modest income family,
right?
And say we'll give you that money, apply it to tuition of a private school,
and then do the math. And what do you still have? You've got a big chunk of change there, don't you?
You do. And so the practical reality of that for a and I'm going to use the modest for the modest income family is that it's not really a practicality, and so what we get down to is who benefits from this. Really, it's those people of financial means who now have an open-ended opportunity to discount their private school education. And I have no problem with private school education. In fact, mm-hmm. I'm a product of a private high school, okay. and I got a very good education. But mm-hmm. my parents struggled to put that money together, and it wasn't discounted. And I think this is part of the problem that we have, particularly in a state where we're leading in this particular initiative, but at the same time, we're in the lowest quartile in terms of money that we provide for public school education. How does that make sense?
I don't know. It seems like a disconnect.
It really does. I mean, we are low in terms of what we provide for public education, and yet now we're giving an additional amount of money out of the public coffers to people who want to send their children to private school. And also for those who, let's talk about the homeschoolers for a minute.
Yeah.
They can get credits as well, as long as directed towards curriculum. And that's a little bit difficult to manage because they're going to have to keep receipts and all of those kinds of things. But it just doesn't make sense. It's a ruse. It really is. I don't understand how people can believe that this is really good for all children, because it's not. It's only good for a certain population of children that can benefit from that.
All right. The opinions of Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor. I'll just leave it right there. All right, Dr. Hendricks, thank you very much.
You're and most welcome.
We will see you next month, talk with you next month. All right, coming up next, our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our arts report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by the crown jewel of downtown, Fox Tucson Theater. Coming up Friday, April 28th, the Fox Theater presents the Doo-Wop Project. The Doo-Wop Project's a musical journey tracing the evolution of this high-energy, toe-tapping genre of music. Coming up then on May 8th, the Fox welcomes best-selling author and humorist. He is a New Yorker contributor and BBC Radio 4 contributor, David Sedaris. Mr. Sedaris will be sharing some all-new stories and observations from his latest book, Theft by Finding is the name of the book, as well as an audience Q&A experience. To purchase tickets to see An Evening with David Sedaris, Monday, May 8th, and to get more information about the Fox Theater shows, such as Comedy for Charity, starring comedian Tommy Blaze on April 23rd, The Doo-Wop Project, April 28th, comedian Bill Engvall on May the 20th, Blues Great Taj Mahal, that's June 6th, and Gordon Lightfoot on June 22nd. Visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now Mr. Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson. What a lineup the Fox have. Who says that the spring season starts to slow down, Dan?
I know. If I had been more prepared, I would have done this entire segment in the tune of The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, in the tribute to Gordon Lightfoot. The art season is coming. Yeah. Not quite. I didn't quite prepare for that.
He's amazing. Gordon Lightfoot still performing and has really his repertoire is terrific.
Yeah, great. He's a Canadian legend.
Yes,
legitimately, like, is probably the biggest singer songwriter from Canada. Apologies to Anne Murray.
Yeah,
but
I forgot to mention that Taj Mahal will be also have Keb Mo, Keb Mo will be performing with them. So
that's two headliners in one.
There you go.
Keb Mo could come to the Fox. People will be like, wow, Keb Mo's coming.
Keb Mo.
Both. Solid. Right. If you like modern blues, you should go.
Very cool.
I didn't come here to talk about that. I mean, I guess I did. But, you know, it's an exciting arts time here. So many festivals. The end of the school year brings about a ton of exciting stuff at the U of A. Let's jump right in.
All right.
26th annual Arizona International Film Festival starts tomorrow, Wednesday, April 19th. Opening night celebration at Hotel Congress. Filmmakers in attendance. Runs all the way through April 30th. Great films, the whole gamut of things. If you like short films, if you like global films, if you like Arizona films, you want to meet filmmakers, you want to see comedy, it's all happening. FilmFestivalArizona.com. Buy some tickets, super affordable. Get to see the future of film. And, you know, who knows? You might meet the next Wes Anderson. Who knows? Anything is possible. Also, it's also festival season, April 29th, Tucson Poetry Festival. It's, I believe, 34. I'm not great with Roman numerals, but that's all right. Full day of things happening. It's Poetry for the People is the theme. At 191 East Tool, the 191 Tool space, starting with Frontera Politics with Enrique Garcia, talking about the relationship of Tucson has with the Tonal Autumn people and Mexican border, youth poetry slam, workshops, discussions of language, evening performances and readings. You can learn all about that on Facebook, facebook.com/Tucson Poetry Festival. Like I mentioned earlier, end of the U of A school year brings out a bunch of different things that you can see the work of these MFA students or BFA students. I Dream in Widescreen at the beautiful Fox Tucson Theater Saturday, April 29th. It's the 10 short BFA thesis films from the School of Theater, Film, and Television. Some of these films have gone on to the Berlin International Film Festival, Sundance Film Festival. It's a great thing. It's a ton of fun. Shelley Hall from our film office is one of the judges. The MFA thesis opening is April 20th at the U of A Museum of Art. You want to see art in its most daring and adventurous, that's going to be there, and it's always a fun show, and you get to see what these students have been working on. Persona is the release of the Undergrad Magazine for Literature and Art. That's happening Thursday, April 27th at 7 p.m. at the Arizona Poetry Center. Free snacks and refreshments, which is something worth mentioning. And then the Poetry Center also has This is the Way We Begin and End Things. It's the Poetry and Film Exhibition. That's at the Center for Creative Photography on Tuesday, April 25th, 5:30 to 6:30. I cannot promise snacks, but they're going to have a discussion. Hanson Film and Student Poetry Center. Screening of the film Autumn Dances, more readings of poetry, collaborative relationships, intersections, all the stuff people like. It's a busy time.
Do we have more festivals than any other city our size in the country?
It's certainly possible. It feels that way.
It does.
And more
feel
and more happening
way.
All the time. I mean, it's at the end of the year brings a lot of crazy stuff around, but it's Agave Heritage Fest is coming up. It's all, there's no shortage of things to do.
Hey, I want to, you mentioned Shelley Hall, and Shelley does a great job with the film office, and they work out of Visit Tucson, don't they? Work out of your office?
I could shout down the hall.
Yeah.
Shelley, I wouldn't, because that'd be rude. But.
One thing I don't understand with the state of Arizona, well, that's one of the things I don't understand with the state of Arizona, is why we're not helping to get our film industry cranked up here again, like New Mexico has done with offering these, I know, incentives to people. It's to some people don't like the word incentive, but hey, if it can encourage films to bring big-time productions to Arizona, I don't see anything wrong with that.
I think there's a little bit of progress, thankfully, in that space. Studio 48, which is a new initiative of the Governor's Office and the Arizona Commerce Authority, they are the Arizona Office of Film and Media, launched in 2016. So at least there's a little bit of action in that space to create more attention in that area, and the head of that office and Shelley went to a location scout thing in, I can't remember where it is. They went to an event pretty recently to talk to people. So I think maybe we're getting to that point. There's a lot of, I would not describe it as super helpful that USC had a report recently that said the film incentives were essentially a drain on taxes without providing the amount of money to replace it. So, the attitude towards such things is not super positive at the moment, and other states are kind of getting out of the business. But it makes it a challenge. You know, things you're going to see. You see a lot of non-scripted reality television coming here, music videos, things like that. So Shelley and also Peter in that office have done a great job of making the best of a situation. But there are, to be perfectly honest, you know, people will call sometimes and say, the first thing out of their mouth will be, do you guys have incentives? And then they're like, well, we have other things. And then the phone already hung up. It's like, well, that's the end of that conversation.
Well, there's so many great movies, of course, were filmed here. I was watching one of them last night, Tombstone from 1993. And
remarkably, none of it shot in Tombstone.
Yeah, exactly. I think there might not have been any scenes in Tombstone, but I did Google to see what were the scenes, and all over Cochise County and some other great Mount Lemmon. There was some really great shooting, and the cinematography was terrific. But anyway, it'd be great to kind of revitalize our film industry. One thing we are revitalizing, the food thing just has a life of its own, doesn't it, Dan?
Yeah, I show up and I just take phone calls about food, pretty much.
food.
I did all the work. All the work is just rolling in. Yeah, no, if anybody happens to have the opportunity to do so, the BBC Good Food Magazine had a 4-page feature about Tucson food.
Whoa.
Marina O'Loughlin is, to my thoughts, England's most important food critic. I'm not the only person who said that. She's one of the Telegraph magazine's 100 most important people in Great Britain. And she came to Tucson in November, December and loved it. You know, I mean, to the point the kicker of the article at the end says that she's already planning her next trip back. So it's effusive, to say the least. I don't know that they – I think you probably can still get – I think you can get BBC Good Food at, you know, places wherever you buy your magazines.
Okay.
Crescent or Barnes & Noble, things like that. But it's a great article. It's incredible. Hacienda del Sol put it on their Facebook page, too. So
very cool.
Go check it out there.
Dan Gibson, thank you. Always a pleasure. Love catching up with you. Thanks, Dan.
No problem. My pleasure.
All right. To purchase tickets to see some of the great shows coming up at the Fox Tucson Theater, the crown jewel of downtown, let me quickly go over some of them with you because these are some really terrific shows. An evening with David Sedaris, that's coming up Monday, May 8th. To get more information about the Fox Theater shows, such as Comedy for Charity, starring comedian Tommy Blaze, that's April 23rd. The Doo-Wop Project is April 28th. Comedian Bill Engvall, May 20th. Blues greats Taj Mahal and Keb Moore on June 6th. And, of course, Gordon Lightfoot, June 22nd. Visit foxtucson.com. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen from 4 to 5 this afternoon. I think one of the topics will be the upcoming May election, special election here in Tucson. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone, and then me, Bill Buckmaster. I'm back up at the plate in less than 24 hours, 12:04 tomorrow for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Ray Allen, I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.